Into the Night, 1980 hit from Betty Martone. And Betty has passed away. A long battle with Parkinson's disease. He was 73 years old. That song just kept coming back. Another resurgence in 1989. And it won't go away. Into the Night, Betty Martone dead at the age of 73 yesterday. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show. Talking now with Rick Hess, resident scholar and the director of education policy studies at the American Enterprise Institute, AEI.org. His piece, Reopening Schools Isn't Risk-Free, Neither Is Keeping Them Closed. Rick, thanks for joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Hey, my pleasure. Good to be with you.
Good timing on your part. June 23rd, this post goes up. And what, 2 days later, I believe, the American Academy of Pediatrics comes out with their look at the fall and getting back to in-person learning. Certainly what they say is in very close continuity with your piece at AEI.org.
Sure, absolutely. You know, what's going on here is it is easy for us to be aware of the risks right in front of us. So we're all aware of the public health risk of COVID. We're all, you know, we all want our communities to be safe. What's easy to lose sight of are the things that are maybe 6 feet ahead of us and around the corner, which is the devastating impact these shutdowns are having on 50 million American kids.
And they are both, they're socially, they are educational questions. There are so many ways that perhaps we don't even think about that students are affected by not being able to be in school. Talk about the social isolation factor for students. How do we know that that affects them socially and their emotional well-being?
So, you know, part of the reality is we don't actually understand this all that well because as far as we know, we have no memory of this happening
sure.
to kids. But, you know, surveys find that 25-30% of kids are saying they have trouble sleeping, are saying they're nervous and depressed. These are way up from normal. Look, kids are social beings. You know, whether we're talking about 15-year-olds or 7-year-olds, they're not fully formed. A lot of their emotional life depends on their friends, on connecting with mentors. They don't have the friendships and the relationships and the work to keep them preoccupied that, you know, those of us who are adults have. And so when we're thinking about it, it's easy for us to say, well, we'll give them some stuff online.
Mm-hmm.
But if we think about it for half a second, or if you talk to any parent, you're immediately thinking, oh, my God, we're missing 70% of what keeps most children kind of moving forward each day.
Yep. Rick Hess with us from the American Enterprise Institute, AEI.org. Academically, look, students lost essentially a half year of in-person schooling last year. If that continues into the fall, maybe it's a full year when you add it all together if we don't get things in place to reopen in person. What might that mean for the future when these students at every grade level end up being essentially three-quarters of a year behind where they should be?
Yeah, no, it's a huge problem. It's particularly a big problem for kids, for low-income kids, for
yes.
kids in less stable homes, because during the summer, these are the kids who tend to fall further behind anyway. They don't have books in the home nearly as frequently. They don't have the resources that more affluent parents have. So they're all going to lose out. What folks need to be especially aware of is as dismal and unproductive as the last 3 months were this spring, schools actually had a giant head start. Teachers had been working with their kids in person for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So the train wreck that was the spring was after teachers had 6 months of building relationships. If kids are assigned to schools and they're just going virtually or if they're going, you know, one day a week in the fall, and teachers basically know their kids as pixels and email accounts, I taught high school once upon a time. I can't even imagine trying to teach 140 kids a day whom I have no idea how to put a name with a face.
Yep. And I was talking to a buddy yesterday about, you know, the first time students, kindergartners or perhaps first graders who don't know what the structure of a school day should look like, what to expect, or making that transition from eighth grade to high school. That's a very different set of circumstances and expectations that you can't get virtually.
That's right. And, you know, you'll hear that, that there are some kids who like this experience, and that's great. Kids are different, and, well, you know, one of the problems with American education is it has been too much of a one-size-fits-all for too long. So that's a given. But, look, the kids for whom this stuff works at home are the kids who really love school, the kids who have a place where they can sit down with a computer and concentrate, the kids who maybe were in schools where they felt unsafe or picked on. That's great that we're doing it for those kids, but we're probably talking about one kid out of 10. 90% of kids, the thing that gets them through the school day is that, you know, they'll swallow some learning as medicine because they get to see friends, they get to see an adult or a coach they really admire. And so the trick here is not to go, not to ignore that this works okay for some kids, but to remember it's a small number, and we've got to figure out how the heck we make sure that we're not miserably failing 90% of our kids.
Yep. In addition, of course, to those students who need to have special needs identified or assistance with those, whether it be socially, whether it be academically, however it might be, those students and parents are really, really hurting at this point, too, and really can't see that happen into the fall. As Rick Hess writes, reopening schools isn't risk-free. Neither is keeping them closed. Find this piece at AEI.org. Find Rick on Twitter at RickHess99. Rick, thanks so much for joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. That's Rick Hess, his piece over at AEI.org. We will keep talking about this through the week. Reopening schools, pushing toward that goal of in-person learning in the fall. As the American Academy of Pediatrics says, we should be doing. Scott Bertram in for Steve. Back to wrap up this edition of the program in just a moment. It's the Steve Gruber Show.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
I'm Jim Holcomb, Executive Vice President of the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. To say that we are in challenging times is an understatement. Employers and employees are struggling through no fault of their own. But in Michigan, we're tough and we're determined to get through this temporary situation. At the Michigan Chamber, we are working with policymakers at all levels of government to provide the necessary resources for business. We've assembled a coronavirus toolkit at michamber.com. We're providing factual information on unemployment benefits, financial relief resources, and guidance for employers and employees to stay safe. It's clear the business community is leading the way. They're protecting their employees, they're protecting their communities, and they're keeping Michigan economy strong. We'll get through this together. I'm Jim Holcomb from the Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, moving Michigan forward.